Jupiter Broadcasting presents this show in mega stereo sound.
You can check out the video recorded from the live stream of this episode. For more information, go to jupiterbroadcasting.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show, we cover the week's top news stories, turn up the hate on the issues we feel strongly about, and give you an epic review of the Drobo Storage Robot and its Linux running NAS attachment. Then we answer your questions, plus so much more. Oh, this week on the Linux Action Show! Welcome to Season 9, Episode 2 of the Linux Action Show. My name is Brian. With me, of course, is Chris.
Hey, Brian!
Well, hey, Chris.
Netgear's Open Wireless G Router, the WGR.
The WG.
614L runs Linux.
That specific serial numbered Netgear WG61 blah blah RL.
Let me blow your face off with this thing real quick.
You know, I really could use a good face blowing off.
It is a high performance wireless G router with a 240 megahertz CPU.
Not to be confused with the total crap performance right. Netgear wireless hubs.
It has 4 megabytes of flash and 16 megabytes of RAM. Brian.
That's several megabytes more of RAM than the leading competitor, Netgear non-running Linux.
That bad mamma jamma not only runs Linux, source code available for download right on their site. And as an added bonus for all the listeners out there, I'm going to link to the source code in the show notes.
What? Wow. So what we expect is every listener of the Linux Action Show to make their own custom version of their wireless hub.
Nothing so small-minded, Brian.
Oh, we have a big plan for this.
We'd like everybody out there to develop a Linux Action Show RSS reader built into their wireless hub, downloads it to their local network, and then using some sort of peer-to-peer system, I'm not picky, I don't care which one, distribute it to all of the computers in your house. That's all I'm asking
for. That's all you're asking for?
So, yeah.
Wow. Our demands are few and small.
Brian, welcome the back.
It was kind of hard seeing the show 2 weeks ago when I wasn't here and some guy was sitting here.
Some dude.
A little less than pleasant.
It was very nice of Jim to fill in for us.
Yeah, it was a good guy.
Especially on the super short notice.
I was at home sick and I was laid in bed and turned on my internets and loaded up you guys streaming.
Are we on there?
For a few minutes because I was passing in and out of consciousness.
Right.
And it kind of made me cry a little bit. I was like, what's this guy doing?
Brought a tear to your heart.
Yeah. I felt like maybe someone was cheating on me. Felt a little weird.
But, so what do you feel? Cool. How does it feel to be back after like an extended season break thing?
It feels good. It feels good to be back because we got a lot of stuff going on right now. We got a lot of stuff coming up that's going on.
Crazy.
Between reviews and news and just stuff happening. It is not a time for the Linux Action Show to be off a season break.
No.
We got, you know, there's the shows dying left and right. You know,
there's some guys that have some shows.
So Lug Radio's dead. They're gone. Right. Their last episode has already been filmed. Has already been recorded.
Okay.
They've already had Lug Radio live. I believe they're done.
Okay.
So they're done.
All right.
So I mean, we can't be gone here. We just can't be gone, is what I'm saying here.
It's time for action.
It's time for action.
Linux action.
It's time to move forward as a people into the desert and to vanquish the Mummy 3.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but what I will say is this.
Yes.
I'm all fired up this season. I didn't really get to talk about this last episode.
Oh, yeah?
I'm all fired up. I've got some things to say.
You do look like you have a fire in your eye.
I've got some things that I want to change out there, and I am going to go at it this season. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm cracking the whip, Brian.
All right.
If I see something, I'm calling a spade a spade.
Wow.
You know, that's, I think that isn't that a racist comment, actually? That's like a racist slang.
Well, that's like, I didn't mean
like,
it as that.
Isn't that like the same thing as like saying, no skin off my back? That's just kind of the...
No, because what I just said was, I'm a beep, 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 beep.
We're beeping all this out. All right, good. good. I don't know. It seems like it could be.
Hey, you know what?
The origin of
Brian,
anything.
We've got a lot to do.
You know what would be really great if we would do right now, Chris?
Let's do the news.
What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian, our top story on the news docket for this week. IBM targets Microsoft with their desktop Linux initiative. That's great. That's Brian's making faces for the camera.
You're welcome, internets.
IBM hopes that the disillusionment with Vista and the uncertainty about Microsoft's long-term roadmap will create an opening for Linux to emerge as a stronger contender in the desktop market.
Hey,
IBM announced a partnership with the Red Hat, the Novell, and the Canonical, makers of Ubuntu, to offer a Microsoft-free personal computer with IBM's Lotus Notes and Lotus Symphony software.
All right, man, that is a really great idea, IBM, a year and a half ago.
Oh, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Hell, even, you know what, honestly, even 7 months
this
ago.
This is so awful.
Why? It's like we're just missing it. Like, it is a great idea. This
first
is
of all,
the idea. But
oh,
this
no.
was the idea.
This is not the idea. Let me
this was
you're
great.
Right. You're right.
Before like yes. like before Christmas time.
Right.
Like, you know, if it had been before this
Here's
last December,
thing.
I would have been like, yeah.
Here's the thing, and nobody out there listening is gonna believe what the words that are about to come out of my mouth. No one will think it's true. They're all gonna say I'm full of it. But here's the honest to God truth.
Lay it on me.
In the mainstream media and in the general public, the opinion about Vista is beginning to change.
It is. It's finally
people
it's finally
are
turning.
Starting to say this is the common, and it's part of this because of this advertising thing Microsoft's doing.
The Mojave
whatever,
experiment.
Whatever, it's stupid. Yeah. But I got plenty to say about that. It's a whole, that the whole thing's
that's
BS.
That's a whole thing, yeah.
But people are starting to use the line. Well, you know, a lot of people complaining about Vista have never even used it. Once people start saying that, the next step is, you know, Vista's not that bad.
Right.
And then
people don't object to it being on there anymore. And
the
then
thing
it's just
is,
there.
Is then we have squandered a gigantically huge opportunity,
a 2 year long opportunity,
right? An opportunity that Apple has skyrocketed in sales, and IBM,
and it's not. And I want to be clear about this: they've skyrocketed in sales not because of them. They've just been there at the right point at the right.
They're
time.
They're in the right spot in the right time
and
with the non Vista product.
They just didn't screw it up. They didn't do a great job. OS 10.5 when it came out was a buggy pile. But they were there, and they weren't Vista. And they came out and they told everyone, "Look, we're not Vista."
And they ran those
and
ads.
They had those ads everywhere that said, "We're not Vista."
But here's
and
the thing,
great.
Is those ads didn't speak to corporate IT. And that's really where the Novell and the IBMs could have come in. And
the Novell and the IBM.
And they really could have hammered
they
that
really
in.
Could have.
And now, when you boil this announcement down, it's basically PCs that are built with the sole purpose of shipping Lotus software.
Right. Right, that's the whole point.
It's Lotus Notes and Lotus Symphony.
That's the whole point.
It's stupid. It's way late, and it's not enough. It's stupid, and
it's not
enough.
Stupid, but it is late. It's late, and it's not enough.
It's better than nothing.
It's like, you know what? Even though they're late doing it, they have to do it. So they have to do it now, but now they have to follow it up with something really awesome. Now they have to really kick into gear and this isn't going to cut it anymore. They have to do this plus. So let's see what they got up their sleeves. They can't do all the announcements on the same day or even the same week. I mean, realistically, they do this and then 2 weeks later, they come out with another
even
set of
then,
announcements.
Even then, it's not enough.
We'll wait and
see.
It's
too late.
We'll wait and see.
It's too late.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
I believe the window of opportunity has been lost.
I don't think it's, I think most of it's lost. I think some of it's still there, but I think most of it is lost.
All right, the next story on the news docket for this
sadness
week.
Washes over me like a blanket.
Dell introduces 10 new laptops, all of which are rocking embedded Linux. Now, have you heard about this crazy stuff?
I have.
So the first batch of Dell laptops that are selling or shipping.
Wait, sorry. No, Chris, tell me.
Right. The first batch of Latitude laptops are going to include something called Latitude On, and it's going to be on the hard drive. It's an image on the hard drive. Future versions of the laptop are going to be a completely hardware embedded solution. And Dell believes 19 hours of battery life when you run this embedded Linux version. They're targeting it for the business-ish market.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of nice features like backlit keyboards.
Right.
LED backlit screens.
Yeah.
New hinge architecture, new chassis architecture, whole new stuff.
Yeah.
They're totally new metal cases, multiple colors, yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Nice, right? Nice little lappies for sure.
The OS on the hard drive is still Vista.
Right.
So
it's just utilizing Linux for one feature of
it's the using system. Embedded Linux. Now here's the thing though. What's the point? I mean, really, think about it.
Yeah.
Do you want to maintain two sets of email accounts, two sets of bookmarks? Do you want to be migrating data between your desktop, your install, and your embedded Linux install?
Well, I mean, if you use, you know, IMAP or something for the email, you're pretty
okay.
Yeah,
no, sure.
Yeah, no, but I see your point. Do you want to keep your data in two separate places and two separate, essentially, partitions?
Now, what I get it for...
Now, to be fair, though, you know, guys like us, we dual and triple boot all the time. Yeah. So, I think, maybe, but...
I think in no way is it a bad thing. I just think it's... I kind of don't quite see its place, but I think it's a nice to have. Also...
I see it as a nice stepping
stone. If you're on the plane a lot or something like that, having this massive battery life with this embedded Linux OS, also 7-second boot. Hello,
that's really handy.
That's rad.
That's really handy.
That's a quick power.
Even like the triple E's with the stock Xandros install, well, that was like a 15-second boot, and that was crazy fast.
Yeah.
So if we can have that, that's awesome.
Right. So it's interesting.
I can't complain
and you
about
know,
that.
Honestly, these are looking like some really rad desktop or laptops from Dell.
They are looking pretty
good. I'd like to see if they crank them out from their Ubuntu side, the N series. We'll see.
Yeah, I would too.
We'll stay on top of that and monitor for future developments, Brian.
We sure as heck will, won't we?
All right, the next story on the news docket for this week. The Ontario Linux Fest is coming up in just a couple of months.
It is.
Last year we talked about it. The guys sent us a note saying, hey guys, could you mention this? And we're like, you bet your Ontario Linux butts
we can. Of course
we can. Yep. The Ontario Linux Fest will be running on Saturday, October 25th at the Days Hotel and Conference Center in Toronto, Ontario.
Beautiful.
It looks like pretty good. I'll put links to it.
So, man, if you love Canada and Linux, you should be there.
Built in.
You should be there.
Built in.
Also, if you're like in that part of America that's practically Canada, you should probably be there too.
Like Bellingham, Washington?
Yeah, well, that's the wrong side. But like on the other side, near the lakes that look like a giant palm tree.
Right.
Right. You should... whatever. I don't know. I don't know these words.
Basically, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's pretty cool to check out. Looks like they got some pretty neat stuff going on. These guys put on a good show.
Totally.
So it's worth checking out. All right.
And plus, you know, it's one of the more independent Linux fests going on, and they're very cool to have around. We got to support these.
You know, I can't disagree with any of those words.
Yeah.
Next story on the news docket for this week.
Yes.
The Asus EEE Box. Available in the United States for 350 U.S. bones.
That's 350 bones right there.
$350 gets you, it's that little triple E PC that has the little stand that honestly, the best way to describe it is it kind of looks like a Wii.
It looks like a Nintendo Wii, only it's black and it's have some, like designs on it.
Yeah, it's got some designs on it. Yeah. It comes in white and black and I think that's just it.
I just keep looking at the black
ones. But 350 bones for U.S. dollars. It comes with 1.6 gigahertz Atom processor.
Not bad.
802.11n Wi-Fi. I thought it was G. It is
I was
N.
surprised by that. That's
memory
a nice move.
Memory card readers, 1 gigabytes of RAM, and an 80 gig hard drive. And 80 gigabytes of hard drive. Man. Now, the hard drive, I think, can be upgraded to 120.
Okay.
It uses that really small...
Can you stick any more RAM in there?
Oh, probably.
Probably. If you could, that would
help.
Here's
the thing. Stateside, only shipping with XP.
A little disappointed in that.
You know, I've been having a back and forth with the listener also about the Acer Aspire 1. Which looks like a really... It's essentially
a nice looking laptop.
It's basically these specs, only instead of an 80 gig hard drive, it's shipping with a 120 gig hard drive.
And it's a laptop.
It's the same form factor as a triple E PC, a little
basically,
bigger 8.9 inch screen.
Yeah.
But it's only XP stateside as well.
I don't get that. I really don't get that.
I don't know.
You know, part of it is, I think, like, you know, like the Triple E originally shipped with that modified Xandros.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest with you, that's really outdated. It's a really outdated and boring distro.
Yeah.
I kind of would like to see them throw something on there like SUSE 11, Ubuntu, something like that.
Oh, that reminds
that
me.
That would be rad.
Back up to the Dell story. It's a customized version of SLED.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's surprising.
Is it like the previous, the current SLED 10?
Yeah, it's current SLED that's been modified.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, I just got to say this. I was watching the press conference. They had a video stream of the press conference.
Yeah.
The Dell people were real jerks. Like, really? They wouldn't give any information. Oh, we're not ready to discuss that. What? You're not ready to discuss the open platform that you're going to be embedding because there's some huge secret in there?
At your press conference.
At the press conference.
That you're talking about
people
that.
People are asking you about your device. They want to know information. Oh,
so that they can buy it.
We worked with partners. We did the R&D, but we worked with partners. Well, it turns out the partner was Novell. And yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Dell, if you're going to make a splash, first of all, extremely boring press conference. I'm sorry. It was three people sitting on stools. It was stupid. Then the second thing is give
most press conferences are.
Well, there's some.
They shouldn't be, but yeah.
Yeah, but.
I know.
Steven R. Jobs goes up on stage and everybody freaks out because he puts on a big flashy show. These Dell guys get up and they're trying to market these as these amazing machines. And they're probably some of the best PC laptops.
Yeah, they do
laptops.
A crappy job
and
of it.
They poop. They
do.
Just go up on stage
they
might as well be taking
a poop.
Job.
Yeah. They should be. You know, actually, that'd be pretty exciting. That would make news everywhere.
That's true.
Dell execs get on stage and take poop.
By the way, release new laptops.
New laptops. Everyone's like, I want to buy that laptop. I'd buy it.
All right, Brian. The last
Let
story.
Let that be a lesson to you, Dell.
On the news docket.
You can hire us as your marketing firm if you want.
For this week, FreeSpire lives, goes back to Debian. That whole Ubuntu thing, never mind. Remember how they were basing FreeSpire?
There's no Linspire anymore. There's just FreeSpire. Because
Linspire,
so Zandros bought Linspire.
Right.
Killed Linspire, but kept their FreeSpire version.
And what they're basically going to do is they're going to roll it back to Debian from Ubuntu, and they're going to basically treat FreeSpire as the free test version of the Zandros desktop.
I gotcha.
So it's eventually going to morph into what Zandros is.
Yeah.
So they can have a free version of Zandros. Here's the blurb. Zandros has announced a new version of FreeSpire to be based on Debian's forthcoming Lenny release.
Okay.
I love when people announce something that's not shipping and it's based on something that has indeterminate shipping dates.
Well, Lenny's coming up pretty soon here. Lenny should be shipping in the next month.
Yeah, but the last release of Debian, remember, was supposed to come out in October, then it was supposed to come out in November, then it was supposed to come out in December, and we didn't even get it till January or something.
No,
like
that's true. But I think from what I hear, Lenny's on track for September.
No, and it's looking good. So. It's just funny to announce something on a product that you have no control over.
I know. Right. What can you do?
Expected this fall is when the FreeSpire based on Lenny is to come out. Zandros says his plans are to consolidate its various offerings on Debian following its acquisition of Linspire.
Okay.
That whole thing happened like when we were on break.
It did. Yeah, this one kind of caught me off guard.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting that. I was not expecting Zandros to swoop in and just all Linspire's mine. I was not expecting that.
I agree, sir.
Whatever. What are you going to do, right?
Nothing you can do, Brian.
Nothing you can do. We're just guys. We're just two guys.
Couple of dudes
just
reading the news.
We're just telling you. It's not our fault.
Don't shoot the messenger. All right, Brian. That's all the news for this week.
There are three things that are important in a man's life: good food, good drink, and adequate data storage.
Oh, good call, Brian.
These are the things that define us. These are the things that move us forward as a people.
As a society.
There was a point where we had RAID 5.
Yeah.
And RAID 5.
Back like 1780?
Yeah, 1776.
1785.
Right. Right. Every 4th of July, we get together and we celebrate. We celebrate the existence of RAID 5. At least I'm assuming that's what we're doing it for. Because I can't think of any.
That's what
the fireworks are for. Correct.
It's a United States thing.
Yeah, you guys up in Canada would not understand with your Boxing Day.
Or the UK.
I think they have the 4th of July in the UK.
Ours
is just for storage, right. So RAID 5 is great. Everyone loves RAID 5. It's just very
little restrictive.
It's restrictive. It has some confines to it.
There's a lot of management that comes along with a RAID 5
system. It's too much
system.
To think about, but it is very big. It is very
doable.
You know
what? Someone's come along, Brian, and they are shattering that paradigm.
Just shattering it, you say?
They're blowing it out. It's the Drobo from Data Robotics.
Data
Robot.
The D-Robo. As they say.
And today we're going to be taking a look at the Drobo, along with the Drobo Share, which runs Linux.
Beautiful. 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 All right. So let's get right into it. Yeah. Let's talk about, first off, the general overview. The Drobo.
Let's talk about the design of the Drobo.
So quickly, the Drobo is a small device. So for those of you who have video, you can see it here holding it in my hand.
And right next to it is my Triple E PC.
Look at that. So it's small. It's a small device. You can see, The front of it is about the width of a hand. The top's a little longer. Yeah. It's a small device. It's a very slick device, and it's a device with zero buttons on it. It has nothing. There's not
very sleek. The only thing it has on the is whole on the back. Thing. There are spots for USB and power. That's it.
The and front, a key lock.
The front, even though there's information like LED displays and stuff, the front is completely it's opaque glass.
While the cover plastic. Is on. Right. Now there's a cover that pops off.
And you don't even when it's off, you don't even see that.
Right.
Now, careful,
right.
You are moving my 4 terabyte drives around there.
Yeah, you don't mind. So
and then there's the Drobo Share.
And there's the Drobo Share. And the Drobo Share looks similar. It's basically, for those of you who can't see the video, it acts like a pedestal, a platform.
Yep, Drobo
that
sits
the Drobo
right on
sits
it.
On top of it. It's and very thing, thin, about an inch tall, and then otherwise the same shape.
And it's
dimensions.
Got, I'm gonna show them the back there. It's got 1 gigabit Ethernet port and then 2 USB ports. You can plug 2 Drobos into a Drobo Share.
Okay.
And then this has a Samba server on it.
Okay, well, let's get to that next.
All right.
Let's focus on the Drobo first so that we have a base of understanding for which to really analyze the Drobo
Share.
Gotcha. All right, so the Drobo basically comes in one size. That's a one-size-fits-all device. Currently, there's 2 models.
It's about, exactly.
There's the USB model, and then there's a newer FireWire model.
FireWire 800, which it comes with an adapter to do regular FireWire 2.
Sure, sure. So, but they're all the same amount of drives. They all fit 4 drives, right.
And
no
the base
more.
Model has no drives.
Right.
Base
so
model comes
you,
with
you
no
buy, You buy a Drobo, you get nothing. You get nothing with your Drobo.
Right.
It's an empty device.
It's
empty inside.
It needs to be filled.
It's dead inside.
Now, the nice thing about the Drobo is you can fill it with 4 drives,
right.
And they can be mismatched size.
Right, which is pretty cool. So, like, yeah, definitely. RAID 5, if you want to put a terabyte drive in, they've all got to be terabyte drives.
Or if you go less, if you do, like, a 750 drive, then you only get, you're losing the space on those other terabyte
right.
drives.
The entire life of your storage is 750 gigabit drives. The Drobo, on the other hand, you can put in a 300 gig meg drive. Mm-hmm. You can put in, a terabite drive. It doesn't matter what you put in.
You can pick
here.
Up a 500 gigabyte SATA drive now for
like
$80 US dollars.
Yeah.
So you could put in
right, and the 750 gig drives
like
are at a decent
it's
price
like $105
and we're going to get 2 terabyte drives before long.
Yep.
And theoretically, those are all supported by the Drobo.
They
is there
have
a limit?
Tested in-house up to 4 terabytes. The entire Drobo model itself has a 16
4 terabytes per drive.
Yes, the entire model itself has a 16 terabyte limit. Is it theoretical? Some people are saying it might be more than that.
But for now, I mean,
they've only
on.
Tested the 16 terabytes.
We're not going to go out and buy 4 terabyte SATA drives to throw in this thing. So, you know, for now, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And realistically, you know, 16 terabytes
let's,
for a small storage device is pretty phenomenal.
So the cover is opaque, like I mentioned, in certain areas, and it magnetically, very lightly magnetically seals to the front of the Drobo.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not powerfully magnetic.
No.
That would be bad.
It's very light.
Yeah.
And then it has 4 LEDs on the front, which tell you the status of your drives. Green means nothing's wrong, everything's healthy. Yellow, and remember there's a LED for each drive. A yellow
right.
LED means this drive's starting to get full. You should consider replacing it soon.
Nice.
A red light means you this is the drive you have to replace. Flashing red means a drive failure.
That's not bad.
There's
I mean,
also,
it's pretty straightforward.
It can also toggle red, yellow, saying, okay, you can't replace this drive at this moment. I'm doing something fancy in the background.
That's not bad.
And then it's got a legend on the back.
Uh-huh. So the few things you actually have to know about the Drobo, you just pop the lid off and there
you
go.
Know what, that's
here's
actually,
the whole Drobo.
That's a great way to put it. That is the few things you ever have to know about the Drobo.
And that's
the rest
it.
Is all taken care
of. You just pop it out and you get a little picture legend. That's fantastic.
So then the drives.
So if the drives themselves are NTFS, FAT32, or HFS.
HFS Plus. It'll do. It has blue LEDs along the bottom.
Yeah, they kind of go along the bottom here that show you how full the drive is.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Why don't you explain what I'm doing for the people on audio?
All right. So what Chris is doing here, for those of you in audio land who are so direly missing out on, is he is just sliding those drives out of the Drobo right now. The interesting thing here is that the Drobo has no trays, has no screws. You don't need a tool set of any kind to install new drives. You simply, if you have a standard layout SATA drive, you just slide it in, it clips into place, and then when you want to remove it, you don't have to power the machine down.
Nope.
You just pop the thing out and slide the drive out.
Yep, as long as it's not flashing, the one indication says you can't replace right now, which I've done extensive testing, I've never seen that. You're good to go.
That's really pretty slick.
It's very nice. It's to the point, but with the lighting system and how easy it is, and then you combine the Drobo Share, which makes it a NAS, I could literally drop this off at a client that just needs simple file store and say, Here you go. When this light turns yellow, slide this drive that I have next to it in there and replace it.
Okay, so let's talk limitation for a moment.
Okay.
All right, so the current or the old model Drobo, which this is and which you can get still buy.
The one that it's discounted and only does USB 2.0. Right.
Has the limit of a 2 terabyte per volume limit.
So I've got 4 terabytes in there right now.
So it's going to split it out between 2 terabyte
now,
volumes.
The Drobo Share negates that because the Drobo Share handles all that with its Linux OS.
So it combines it all together. Automagically.
My network only sees it as one volume, even though to the Drobo Share, the Drobo is presenting itself as two volumes.
Now,
every 2 terabytes, the USB 2.0 Drobo will cut off a 2 terabyte volume.
Now, that's really not too bad. So now the Drobo Share can actually handle two Drobos at once.
Yeah, it has two
plugged
USB
into
ports.
It.
Yep.
Do you know if you plug in two Drobos, if it's going to still show up as a singular set of shares?
My understanding is two Drobos, still one share.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's
pretty
slick.
That's pretty slick.
So you could get 8 terabytes rolling off this Drobo Share.
That is pretty slick. Yeah. I mean, really, that's not bad.
And then as larger drives come along, you just slide them in here, and it automatically increases the size.
Well, hey, that's really not shabby at all.
Now, the other major limitation.
Yeah.
There's actually two.
Uh-oh.
One is the speed.
Okay.
The older version.
Well, I mean, it is USB, so.
Older version writes around 9 to 10 megabytes a second and reads around 11 to 12 megabytes a second.
So that's not phenomenal speed. I mean, especially when we're comparing it, like we did the HP Media Vault review, which had phenomenal speeds.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking like 40
megs a minute.
It was
second.
Crazy.
So 12 megs a second is fast enough to stream high def. I was able to connect my Popcorn Hour to this unit and playback high def.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
The other thing, too, is there's no... So you manage the Drobo through the Drobo dashboard. It's an application based. It's not web-based.
Okay.
There's no client app for Linux yet.
But there will be.
There's one for Windows, one for Mac. Drobo Data Robotics is releasing an SDK for the Linux installs on Drobo Share.
Okay.
It's in private beta now. Already, one of the developers has created a Linux dashboard, fully feature complete. So when Drobo rolls out the new firmware, you'll be able to download
for the Drobo Share.
You'll be able to download it and manage the Drobo. And I think maybe
that's not bad.
The guy had it working over USB too, so maybe you don't have to have the Drobo Share.
Pretty cool. That's
the Drobo Share adds another $200 to the price of the Drobo.
Right, but it adds, and currently it just adds Samba sharing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean. You know, that then takes the place of like an HP Media Vault or a dedicated
system. Yeah, the other thing the SDK is going to let them do is a universal plug and play server and a DLNA server. Those two things let you stream to a PS3 or like an Xbox 360 straight from the box.
Well, that's pretty slick, but it's not out yet.
Nope.
And have they announced when the firmware is coming?
No, but things I'm talking about are already completely developed.
So it's just
close.
A matter of the firmware coming out and then we get those features.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's pretty cool because like the HP Media Vault does all that stuff.
Yes.
And that's really, when I look at this, I mean, that's what would make me want to go with an HP Media Vault
HP Media Vault or a free NAS box you build yourself, maybe a ready NAS.
You're going to get a lot more features.
Those come with more features and they're probably even a little cheaper right now. Now, the thing is, they're not as easy to use. And I want my TV and I want all that stuff to be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And this is wifey. This is totally spouse approved. She can slide in drives. She can
wife approved.
So that is really nice.
No, that is pretty slick. I don't know. For me, I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, so the current model has the 2 terabyte drive limitation over USB. The new one that is already out.
If you do over FireWire, it's 16 terabytes.
So my thinking is maybe get one or two of the FireWire versions of these, plug those into like an HP Media Vault, which
or
just
even
has phenomenal speeds.
Or even your own rolled like mini, just some cheap machine.
Yeah, your own,
maybe like one of those Koalas from System 76.
They're
kind of like
great.
Mac Mini size.
Yeah, and they're quiet little machines.
But I almost don't even really see the need for that when you go with the Drobo Share with the SDK that's going to have the UN plug-and-play server.
Because still you're looking at the Drobo Share is USB only.
Yeah.
So,
it's faster, though, with the new unit.
Yeah, but it's still not going to be FireWire 800
fast.
That's true. I mean, come on.
You know, they'll probably release a Drobo Share, too, with FireWire.
Okay, see, that changes things, though. If they come out with the Drobo Share with FireWire,
if this version is doing 12 megs a second, the limitation is not the Drobo Share. The limitation is the Drobo.
That's true.
Because this is gigabit Ethernet. Now, they say the newer version is slightly faster, even with USB. And if I can already stream a couple HD things off of the standard,
that's not exactly you're not exactly going to have speed problems at that point.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
I guess that's true. That's not a big deal, and it is kind of cool having an all-in-one little package. I can essentially put this together and plop the Drobo on top of a Drobo share, maybe even get a second Drobo, plug them in together and stick them in a closet somewhere. Yep. And then I have all the storage for my entire house
and
in one spot.
It grows with you as you can put two 750s in there, then you put a terabyte in there, then you pull one out.
I don't have to buy all the drives up front. I can just
you could build your own system. That's with like LVM cool. and something like that. But this is so simple. And if it's a ready NAS, you're stuck at like RAID 5 or even RAID 10. The thing about it is you don't get that dynamic expansion.
Right. The dynamic expansion is what's
it's
doing
kind of
it
a big
for me
deal
here.
Because
honestly, if this didn't have the dynamic expansion, this would be really uninteresting. But with the dynamic expansion, this is exciting, you know, actually.
My wife takes a million pictures. Our music library is always growing. Our home video library is always growing. As we do video shows, that's going to require more storage.
Right.
So
true.
I don't know. It's a pretty nice device.
We do need a lot of storage.
We should talk really briefly the security of the Drobo share. It starts out full guest access,
which is the same, to be fair, as the HP Media Vault. Both of these ship by default as full read write guest. I mean,
you can lock it down from there if you want.
Right. Okay. At least you can lock it down. I mean, but now because the Drobo share runs Linux and they're allowing more applications to be written for it, then it kind of opens up the potential of seeing something like Apache or something, maybe.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
Running on a Drobo share.
You get Apache, you get MySQL on here. And then
could you imagine if you had a whole LAMP development environment?
And it's already got built-in writes. You know, it's redundant. It literally just fit on a shelf.
You know, because I mean, you know, co-located like server hosting and whatnot. Uh-huh. Just buy a Drobo with a Drobo share, and that
I don't know
what
the processor specs on here, but it really could be kind of cool because
if it was just a file share, even if it was just a web for
a
server for sharing
server
up files
with built-in RAID.
Oh, that'd
not
be
bad.
Slick.
I bet you'll see something like that.
Oh, it would solve a lot of our problems. That's really not too shabby. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a slick looking unit. It's classy looking. It's relatively quiet. We don't have it turned on right now, but you know, I mean, there's louder units in the world.
Definitely. There's definitely louder stuff. The newer one's even quieter.
Yeah.
It's got a bigger fan, a little different ventilation.
You can see on the back here, you can see where the, there's a little circle and there's a little where the vent is.
Right.
It's still pretty classy looking.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd say is, when it's off right now, you don't see any lights, you don't see any openings. Even the Drobo share itself, very slick, no buttons.
It's just black.
And when
it's
turns
shiny,
on,
shiny like pearly black.
When it turns on, LEDs shine through the glass.
That's pretty slick.
It's very sturdy.
That's pretty.
It's very
slick.
Well built. Very well
and
built.
And the two of them, I mean, really, I mean, it's hard to get a sense without touching it, but they fit together so nicely. It's like the rubberized feet just slide into these little hooks on the Drobo share, and they feel tight together and sturdy. Like I'm not. There's no bending to the case. I mean, it's nice and metal. You hear that?
Yep.
I mean, it's not a cheap plastic little thing for the most part.
It feels like a very high-end piece of equipment.
It is impressive. I got to admit. I mean, when we reviewed the HP Media Vault, I got really excited about it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I would knock. It's a little, the plasticky drive tray.
See, that was the thing.
It was weak.
That was the thing. There was multiple pieces on that where it was just like, it was a small, like mini ATX type case.
Yeah.
And whereas this is really like they custom built this.
It's a sturdy.
For
built
this
appliance.
Purpose.
Yeah,
and it's more of an appliance. That's
exactly
the thing. Yeah.
Now, next week we're going to compare this. So we've done the HP Media Vault runs Linux.
Next episode.
Oh, yeah. Next episode, we're going to compare this to the Windows home server.
Right.
So we've tried the version that runs Linux.
Man, that's going to be a trip.
Yeah.
Linux Action Show reviews Windows home server.
Well, I think it's good, though, because it's a good comparison of two network-attached storage devices that run Linux. See how the Windows version stacks up.
You know, I am really curious about that. I want to pit, that against the Drobo with Drobo Share and the Media Vault. Because I am interested. I mean, because that is Microsoft's answer to this sort of thing. Is the home server?
Yeah,
and like HP. Like HP has their home server thing. So I want to see how the HP with Windows is running against the HP with Linux.
You got it.
And they're different branding and everything.
Next episode, we'll do that.
That's exciting, actually.
All right, Brian. I think
so. We're gonna give this a
that
go.
That wraps this up. I think this rating is a buy.
This is definitely a buy.
Yeah, by the both of us. I think we both like it. It's a little more pricey, but you kind of pay what you get for. You know,
I've noticed a trend.
You get what you pay for.
We tend to not review the really crappy devices. So it was pretty much, if you were reviewing this, I know it makes us kind of come across as like we're a bunch of fans.
Well, we haven't reviewed
something.
The Windows Home Server yet.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see how that goes, huh? But you know what I mean? For the most part, like, I mean, all the devices, like we checked out the Kindle last time.
Yep.
That was great.
Yep.
I mean, there's the Nokia tablet. I mean, there's just so many good devices. The Triple E. I mean, everything. We just
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
So if you see it on the Linux Action Show, it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Brian, that's our review of the Drobo.
And the Drobo Share.
All right, Brian, I think it's time we take ourselves some listener questions.
Holy moly, I could not agree more.
All right, why don't we kick this bad mamma jamma off with a couple of audio questions.
All right, we got one audio question. We could use more audio questions. We actually got a bunch of audio questions about beer, but not enough audio questions about Linux. Let's get some more Linux audio questions, people. All right, so we got one here from Mikhail.
Hi, Chris and Brian. This is Mikhail from up north in Toronto. I just finished listening to the first episode of season 9, and it's good to have you guys back. But Brian, please get better. I really, really, really miss your very interesting intros to each episode.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, just a quick question. I'm a big console gamer, mainly Xbox 360, Halo, Soul Calibur, those type of, you know, couple of games of that nature.
Nice.
Big Final Fantasy player, but gave up the PlayStation quite a while ago. Anyway, I'm looking for some Linux games. I've tried Open Arena. It was okay. It's not particularly great as far as I'm concerned, but it's a good step in the right direction. I was wondering though if you guys had some favorite games, some maybe games you guys don't like but you think are very good. Open source, closed source, I don't mind. I'm willing to pay for good quality games.
Sure.
Also, maybe any games into Wine that you think run well. I know there's WoW. I play Guild Wars myself, so I'm not going to really bother with monthly subscriptions for a game that I can play for free.
Awesome.
Any suggestions on games, either Wine, open source, or otherwise would be greatly appreciated. And looking forward to the next show. Thank you.
All right.
Very nice.
Thanks, man. There are a lot of games. Unfortunately, when you're talking about coming from like the console world and the epic nature of these huge games, you're not going to get a lot of open source games in that genre. However, there are some great games for Linux, open source and commercial. Yeah. Now, recently, I mean, we've had the Penny Arcade game on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness.
That's a good one.
Good role-playing game. Yep. Not incredibly long. You can beat it in about 10 hours or even less.
That's my preference, to be honest.
But it's very playable, and they have a second episode of it coming out sometime fairly soon. There's a couple of real-time strategy games on there out there. I'm trying to remember the name of them. They all escape me completely at this point, which is somewhat embarrassing. There's Warsaw. There's Alien Arena.
We got two things. It's been a while, but there was an episode where we linked to a ton of games, and we also linked to a game indexing website
about a year ago, I think.
But I think there's been a few new games.
There have. There was commercial offerings like from Loki and whatnot back in the old days. And, you know, so there are some games you can still find. They're just a little more difficult. You might have to get them off eBay.
There's a new one.
Railroad Tycoon 2 and things like that. You can still get, they still run very well on any, x86 Linux box. But they are older games. I've actually been playing Railroad Tycoon quite a bit lately.
There is a new one that's come out. It's a commercial game. I've been talking to a listener about it. I completely have spaced on it.
Yeah, I've spaced on it too. There is a new commercial game that runs on Linux right now.
Put it in the forum. Somebody could help us out.
Someone put it in the forum. JupiterBroadcasting.com/forum. Go check in there. That's definitely the way to go. Also, when it comes to Wine, I mean, a lot of stuff has been running well lately.
Yeah,
you mentioned WoW. That's working well.
Yep.
Now, there are a lot of options out there from actual Warcraft and Starcraft. Most of the Blizzard games run pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do what you need to do. But honestly,
there's also Unreal. The Unreal games weren't run native under Linux.
If you like playing first-person shooters, you're set. I mean, on the Linux side of things, even if you want to stick purely open source, there are some really, like Cube.
Yes.
All of them.
Sauerbraten, was it called?
Sauerbraten is great. The name is escaping me now, and I feel terrible about it. But there's a
Cube Space one.
There's like a terrorist type game that's based on the Quake 3 engine.
Tux
Racer. Very, very good. Yeah, there's Tux Racer. But unfortunately, most games are the simpler variety.
GLX Gears.
Yeah, you can do that. Just really sit back and enjoy. You know what I mean? Enjoy that video card working.
What about the screensaver with the dolphins and the whales?
Oh,
and stuff?
Yeah, Atlantis.
Yes.
The Atlantis OpenGL screensaver. Oh,
that's a good one.
Or go do the Compass Cube with the Atlantis running inside the cube.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Harkens me back to my fish tank days.
But you know, to be honest with you, I'm a hardcore gamer, but I tend to play most of my games on a console.
Yeah, it's because easier.
To be honest with you, I'm screwing around my desktop and laptop
constantly,
on like a weekly or monthly basis. Yep. And so, the most stable machine I have in terms of having a system stay on it for the longest period of time is my little Triple E laptop. And hell, that I even reinstall once a month just because I want to try out some new distro.
We're always
so
doing
it doesn't,
that.
So you don't want to lose all your save games. So I just play on a distro.
All right. So we have one more audio comment question.
No, we don't. That's the only one.
We had the guy on there talking about the beer. No, we don't want to
play
that.
We have beer. That was what I was saying. We'll play that at the end.
We'll save it for people. All right. Well, I'll read just a couple of quick text questions we had sent in.
Yes.
I've got a few more in there, but I just grabbed a couple just to keep the show going.
Keep it flowing. Keep it moving.
One of them, the first one here by Jake. Jake writes in to talk about, I don't know, like a year ago I mentioned you could run a firewall in VMware. What are you, a puss? You know,
this
kind of a thing.
Long time
ago. Yeah, and I've gotten a lot of emails about that. So Jake writes in, hey, Brian and Chris, I love the show. I can't get enough of it. I say, Jake, good man.
Oh, that's a good point. He just made a really good point there.
He says, guys, I just wanted to let you know I work at a data center called Blue Lock. I was going to make a joke, but then I decided to be nice, where we provide infrastructure as a service. This is a really new cutting edge thing. This is me saying this, not Jake. This is a really new cutting edge thing. So infrastructure as a service is basically you sell the business infrastructures as a monthly fixed cost, and they don't have to invest in LDAP servers, mail servers, terminal servers, all that crap.
Right.
He says, we provide 100% virtual environments for our customers, including the router and firewall, both of which are virtualized.
Oh-ho.
Router and firewall. They use a Checkpoint product that was built for VMware to run as the virtual firewall.
There you go.
He says they're out there in production environments with incredible performance with zero security issues. He says in the open source world, Untangle is pretty cool. I haven't tested as far as performance goes, but it can be and has been virtualized very successfully. So Untangle would be a option instead of the Checkpoint product, which is incredibly expensive. You guys rock. Keep up what you're doing, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
Good man. So the thing about that is I'm going to get a lot more email. I just hope that kind of warms up.
This is going to be a nonstop thing. This is really just the show with the recurring firewall theme.
All right. So this last one, I just wanted to say thank you because this really means a lot to Brian and I. Chuck wrote in. He says, hey, Brian and Chris, I just wanted to let you know that I just registered my domain with GoDaddy.com using your promo code for
good
the
man.
Linux Action Show.
Good man.
We get these a few times. I got a few while we're on season break, so I'm kind of catching up to these again. I'm starting to write some of you. I've been backlogged, so I'm starting to write some of you and thank you. He says, the domain I registered, and this is part of the deal, if you register and you tell us about it, we'll announce your domain name on the show and maybe get you a little extra traffic.
Yeah.
He says, the domain I purchased and I am hosting at GoDaddy is fogproject.org. Fog, F-O-G, project.org.
Nice.
He's working on a project which he calls Fog, which is free. It's an open source ghost-like computer cloning solution.
Oh,
so it's like an open source solution for ghosts. It's server-based.
Very nice.
And the server runs Linux for the database, web front-end, etc. It does all the basics like unicasting cloning, which is awesome, multitask cloning, so you can blast an image out to several workstations at once.
Which is very handy.
Oh, and he says some unique features like virus scanning and disk wiping. That's really cool.
Oh.
I love that. It includes a service for the clients, and it does it all without boot disk. Everything is done via Pixie booting. Thanks for the great show. Keep up the great work, Chuck.
Awesome. Well done, Chuck.
Nicely done, Chuck.
Good job.
All right, Brian, tell these people out there how they can get their audio questions to us.
Oh man, there's so many ways. I mean, right now. All right, so you can email it in to linuxactionshow@jupiterbroadcasting.com. There's also brian@jupiterbroadcasting.com or chris@jupiterbroadcasting.com. And those are
I would just use
linuxactionshow@jupiterbroadcasting.com. Oh, right. That would be better and also what I like to call easier for us.
We've also got the
Unless
phone number.
Unless you want to make fun of Chris, you can just send me the email directly.
We've also got the phone number where you can call and leave a voicemail. If you have Flash, which I know that only 4% of you out there do not, if you have Flash, you can go to our Contact Us page,
yep.
Enter in your phone number. You can keep it completely anonymous if you want to. Grand Central will call you back, so there's no toll number.
Right, there's no charge for you, and you can leave us a little voicemail there. Very handy,
yep.
Very cool. We like it much.
We do.
Fantastic.
All right, Brian, that's all the listener questions for this week.
Chris, at the top of the show, you were all like, I'm going to be like keeping it real.
Brian. Let me tell you what.
So what is it that you're actually upset about?
All right, so here's
here?
What I want to do.
Or are you just pulling something out of your
butt? No, I want to start addressing some issues that I think the Linux community needs a little tough love about.
Now, we haven't exactly shied away from this in the past.
I mean, we've pushed personally. You haven't so much.
Yeah, I mean,
more or less.
Well, the Linux Action Show as a whole,
right.
as an entity, we vented. We tell people, we tell these companies
Good
and
point.
These organizations.
So I'm just going to continue that tradition, basically.
Let's just keep that
Nothing's
going.
Nothing's going to change. I'm just going to keep doing it. The thing is,
good. So I can rest for a little bit.
Over the season break.
Chris now. I'm the good guy.
I was working with a few projects. I won't name them yet.
Okay.
But I was working with a few major distribution.
Yeah.
And some software inside that is bundled with another major distribution.
Okay.
And I had an ass-tastic hell of a time doing the bug reports.
Really?
And not only that, so I would submit a bug, not a bug. They would immediately close it.
Yeah.
Then somebody else would reply to my bug, say, oh yeah, no, I've experienced this too. This is a bug. And then somebody else would open up, well, I need a dump. So I would do an application dump when it would crash.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The distribution I was using ships their packages with the debugging symbols turned off or whatever the heck. So I give them the debugging thing using this distribution's bug tracker. He writes back, says that's completely useless. It doesn't have the right information in it. Okay. But I'm doing exactly what you told me to do inside the distribution that you are supporting on this bug tracker. Okay, fine. So then they close it. Completely close it. Not resolved. Nothing like that. Another issue in another distribution remains open. This issue, I originally filed a bug over a year ago.
Yeah.
I am here to say the whole bug tracking system is completely useless.
It's broken.
It's so much, there's so much noise in there that these developers can't follow anything. Secondly, you know what the response I get? Well, if you don't like it, you can fix it. The code is open. You know what? No, I can't. And I feel like there is this separation in the community that it is the haves and have-nots. And if you're not a developer, you are a have-not and you are treated with disrespect. If you are a developer, then you will work on whatever you feel like fixing. And if the problem is too hard, literally one of the answers I got was too hard, they will not close it. And if I don't like it, then I can fix it myself.
It actually is even worse than that, because they're for many of the developers, I've submitted patches in, even very small ones, to fix bugs that have caused me problems.
Right, because you yourself could write the code.
Sure.
Now,
in most cases, those patches were not accepted into the actual stable branch of the product.
What's with that?
Well, it's because it's work for them. It's work for the developers maintaining the project, so they don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying this is everybody. This isn't everybody. In fact, this isn't even necessarily most, but there's enough bad apples that spoil everything.
It's not everybody, for sure.
So the end result is that filing the bug reports is not useful.
Right.
It wastes everyone's time.
Right.
And it's annoying. And then this ties right back into when we were talking about the problems we had with Fedora 9.
Right.
We got harshed on because we didn't submit bug reports.
Right.
Well, if you look through the Fedora bug base, it is riddled with examples just like the one you just gave.
Yep.
So, okay, we could have submitted bug reports, but it would have been a waste of our time and of your time.
I literally sat down.
And that is annoying to me.
I literally sat down for a night and went through several different distributions, bug trackers. Yeah. I picked a couple of key projects for the desktop applications.
Sure.
And I just reviewed them, and I was just sitting there steaming. I couldn't believe it.
It's astounding.
The downtalk, the total unresolved issues. So did you know there's issues that have been in I won't say the distribution name, but there's been an issue. There's a problem if you're outside the United States where your key mapping gets screwed up every time you reboot.
Okay.
It's been open for 3 years. Hasn't been fixed. The head of the project is actually affected by this bug, and they don't have it fixed. Now, the whole question is, well, A, you're getting it for free, so you're whining about a project getting for free. That doesn't hold water. I'm sorry.
Is it quality or is it not quality? End of story.
Oh, so you're just saying your product is crap, and that's okay. But it's okay because it's free. I mean, that doesn't hold water.
That does not hold water with me.
And the other thing that doesn't work anymore is you can't say if you want it fixed, it's open, fix it yourself. That's not practical.
Now a lot of the problems here stems from there are a lot of developers, legitimately good developers, mind you, that do not have a lot of actual practical experience in the software life cycle, in a real, and I dare say this, but a real corporate commercial working in a company on a team of developers to develop a product that ships at a set date and has to make money and sell well and look good to the marketing people.
Right.
There's a lot of developers working on open source projects that don't have that experience or did poorly in that sort of environment. And I'm not saying this is everyone because it's not.
Absolutely.
It's definitely not.
Absolutely not.
There's some great devs out there.
Right.
But what gives me a little bit of hope is that there are, and I know this makes other people a little bit wary, that there are companies like Novell and Nokia coming in and grabbing up these projects. They're not grabbing projects, but they're hiring full-time.
Sponsoring, essentially.
Well, basically, they're hiring developers and saying, you know what, developer, work on that project you've been working on.
Right.
So now we've got projects like, you know, Banshee and Mono Develop.
So what you're saying
and
is...
QT, well, QT is a different case, but they're being worked on by companies who are... where the infrastructure and the people involved are more familiar with the software life cycle and how to deal with quality assurance of software, how the testing process works, and how the testers need to interact with the developers.
So let me ask you this.
And that's a good thing. That means that as the quality of software improves in those cases. And you can see that. You can really, really see that in a lot of
absolutely.
These projects.
So let me ask you this.
Banshee's a great example.
You're not an Amarok guy, so we'll put Amarok aside. But on the GNOME side, you'd say in terms of features and capabilities, Banshee is just ripping your face off right now with how awesome it is, right?
Banshee is an amazing piece of software.
Your face is on the floor
Terms of music players, Banshee has its problems.
Now, why do you think that is?
Because it's fairly young. Why does it have its problems?
No, why do you think Banshee has really come as far as it has? It really seems to have launched in the last 6 months.
Yeah, it has.
Why?
Okay, there's several reasons. One is that the developers are just plain doing a good job.
Right.
But part of that is that they have sponsored developers. So they have developers
from Novell.
who are being paid by Novell to work on the project, either full-time or part-time.
Yeah.
But so they have people who have time dedicated. And when you have corporate sponsorship like that, you have to make sure that you can report upward that you're doing it right.
So,
and you're doing a good job.
Let me ask you this then.
And so they are.
Does the open source desktop software model only hold water when it's being sponsored by a paycheck?
No. But I think in many, many cases, it becomes increasingly necessary. But it's not all the time.
Is it for the hard work? The hard work needs
sponsorship? I don't even think it's the hard work. What I think it is, though, is it's the user-facing apps. So, like, if you want to put together a good music player, you have to make sure that it's well-tested for Joe Schmo user and grandma
devices,
with all these devices and all these sorts of things. However, if you've got one back-end class library that all it does is do, let's say, secure socket connections, well... that one is really, the only people that you're using that are developers.
Right.
So it has to work, but really it
can be,
done. It can be a little more rough in terms of API. We don't want it to be that way, but it can be.
Right.
The same is true for a lot of aspects of the behind the scenes material that make up the platform we're on. The Linux platform, the BSD platform, these are all huge, huge sets of interconnected projects. Mm-hmm. The stuff that you and I see most often and have most of the problem with is that very top layer of stuff.
Or one layer below,
or
like
one
XOR.
Layer, but you know what I mean. It's the XOR is a whole different thing.
That's another episode.
That's another episode.
That's a whole other show.
You know, it's all that top layer stuff. Now, for those of you who have been using Linux for a long time, if you go back 2 or 3 years and take a look and really install, say Ubuntu 4, say Wordy. Go install Ubuntu Wordy and then go install Ubuntu Hardy. Tell me that the Linux desktop has not gotten more stable, faster, and more polished.
But I think in that growth, we've lost things like the bug tracking system.
I don't think the bug tracking system's gotten any worse. I think it's always been bad for these open projects.
As
the project's gotten larger, it's gotten noisier within the bug tracking system.
And that just makes it worse, I think. I think the extra noise...
I think that part of the problem there is that Canonical needs to do a better job of dealing with their bug tracking. Yeah. I think they're dealing with their project. The problem is Canonical, you know, there's so many projects from so many groups that they get integrated into Ubuntu. It's more or less just a clearinghouse of, Well, I think that's this project's bug. No, I think that's this project's bug. Mm-hmm. And so then bugs just get closed with no resolution. And that is a problem. That is a major problem. Whereas if you have, say, a bug in Banshee or a bug in FSpot, you can, or a bug in Amarok, you just go to the Amarok bug tracker and you get it fixed. It's a more isolated, singular project.
Yeah.
The bug tracking for global distributions is a real big issue.
It is. And part of the problem, too, is you do get a little bit of bounce back. If you go to Amarok and you say, when I plug in my anonymous MP3 player, whatever it is, X brand MP3 player, Amarok isn't detecting it, but I get this error message. Well, they'll say, that's not an Amarok issue, that's an Ubuntu issue. And then Ubuntu will punt that back to Amarok and
say, it's an Amarok issue.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is also extremely frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating. It's hugely frustrating.
And I think Canonical is working towards some sort of integration with Launchpad, but the reality is that's far off, and it's one of those things where everybody has to use it.
They've made progress, but it is a ways off. And so, personally, I'm looking at things like Nokel and Nokia and Novell as really making me happy there, because they're coming in and they're enforcing what seems to be their...
Industry standard.
They're getting some more standard practices and software lifecycle into some of the open source development.
Right.
Because the open source development model works. It does work.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of projects.
But there's a couple
of
bad apples and a few projects where the bug tracking is mismanaged, mm-hmm. and then that ruins everything. So if those things got to get cleaned up for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, Brian. That's my rant.
That's all you got?
Well, I got
more. Come on, man.
I got a lot more.
Oh, you sure?
I got more. I'm just going to pace it out over the season.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to take your time?
I'm going to give everybody a sip from the fire hose of my rage.
Take a drink from the fire hose.
Every episode.
That's
for
beautiful.
A little bit.
All right. Why not? I say that's okay. I say it's okay.
Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. Well, I do believe that brings us to the end of this show for this 2-week period
right.
of time.
Right.
Brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Starting at just $3.99 per month, Linux shared hosting from GoDaddy.com includes 99.9% uptime, 24/7 support, and free access to GoDaddy Hosting Connection, the place to install over 30 free applications sure to help you get the most from your hosting plan and website. Plus, as a listener of the Linux Action Show, enter code LINUX1, that's LANUX, and the number 1 when you check out and save an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more. Some restrictions may apply. See site for details. Get your piece of that now at GoDaddy.com.
Very nice, sir. Thank you, GoDaddy.com.
I have a little ditty here I want to play. This is not Linux related at all, but
it's just hilarious.
It is us related, and it made me smile so much. I just want to. We got this call. We got this call. Here it is. Here is this call.
You guys just about killed me as I was driving down the road watching the latest episode of Beer's Tasty. When you start pairing the food with little hot dogs, a big Costco tub of pretzels and macaroni and cheese, I died laughing. You couldn't have selected a more perfect food. And I haven't finished the episode. I paused it to call you guys and tell you that you're freaking hilarious. Beer's Tasty is the funniest podcast I have ever seen. I called my wife, I called my friends, and now I'm calling you to tell you guys you rock. Keep it up, and I look forward to the next installment of Beer's Tasty. Have you ever tried it with M&M's? Just curious. All right.
Awesome. M&M's?
Out of all things? Awesome, yeah.
Why not?
Seriously, everybody, Beer is Tasty has come along nicely.
So Beer is Tasty, you know, that's kind of the other big show right now, I guess, really. I mean, that's
it's taken off big.
It's taken off pretty big. And the great thing is, it's a nice and easy show to do. It doesn't take away from us doing the Linux Action Show.
Just kick around and drink some beer.
Hey, we just sit around. Here, we're going to drink some beer.
I want to snack that already.
We're just going to do that. We're going to do that, like, after we record the Linux Action Show anyway.
Right.
So, Beer is Tasty, you can get it at jupiterbroadcasting.com. Mm-hmm. And we've got the other shows. We've got, we've got Radio Revolver. We've got Mac Murphy. It's all good stuff. Cast a Blast is on hiatus for all you sci-fi fans. We're not sure what time's coming back. Yep.
Joint Failures is cracking out right now.
We're doing good. And
we also have added the release calendar. If you had any questions about when all these shows come out.
Oh, yeah.
JupiterBroadcasting.com. There's a release calendar.
There's a little button at the top. You can check out, our video archive. Yep. You can check
That's
out
the
calendar of releases we got going on.
There's a video archive link, which will take you to all our archive videos, Linux Linux Action Show beer is tasty. It's me walking down the street. No, that's not really on there.
It's not really
doesn't really matter. It's in our video Naked. Archive.
So yeah, it's good times. It's good times for all. Of all course, right. The forum's still there. Just like we said before, JupiterBroadcast.com/forum.
And you've got the email addresses.
Or
Brian.
With a Y.
At JupiterBroadcasting.com.
It's fantastic.
Send us emails now to the Linux Action Show at JupiterBroadcasting.com.
Yeah. We still have the LinuxActionShow.com addresses, but please don't send them there because then that's just more addresses we got to check. And we are inherently very, very lazy people.
Well, we're also very ADD. It's almost unbelievable. So.
There's also, and I don't know if you have heard about this, there's also the IRC chat room on irc.freenode.net at #LinuxActionShow.
I've been making a few more appearances in there.
Yeah, I stop in about month lately.
It's
pretty fantastic. I stop in and like three guys are like, "Hey, Brian, yeah, everyone else is asleep." I'm like, "Okay, bye, guys." And that's pretty much the gist of my interactions there.
Yeah, there's 30 people in the room, 40 people in the room, 50 people in the room, 2 people awake.
Yeah, I'll have always just missed like some big brouhaha. Yeah, they'll have had like some heated debate about some technology or another.
Ditto.
I'll come in, they're like, "Yeah, everyone's tired."
Here's the thing, and this is
it's a good time.
All joshing aside, if you would like to help support Linux Action Show or any of our other shows, Beer is Tasty, anything, it'd be huge for us if you would actually just link to us. Maybe link to us in Twitter.
We link to us
on your blog. Any kind of links that you can do to help us get our Google rankings up.
Yep.
Because that's primarily how people find us.
We need to get the word out about a lot of these shows right now. Yep. I mean, you know, we talked earlier in the show, there was the news story about IBM making a push and, you know, trying to take advantage of the moment in time of so much bad press about Vista, and we really need to get Linux out there. And one of the ways we need to do it is in the media. We need to show people why Linux is so cool. Yep. And so we need to get people listening to the show who are not Linux users.
People that are not already listening.
Right. So we need to get the word spread far and wide. And more Linux users is great. I love you guys. But we need to get more non-Linux users listening to the Linux Action Show.
Yeah.
And if we can use some of the other shows to do that, so if you know people who just like beer, send them to Beer is Tasty, but also make sure to mention to them, "Oh yeah, you like that, huh? Well, make sure to listen to the Linux Action Show."
Totally.
Same guy is pretty cool, huh?
Totally.
And then maybe we can get
some converts. We're starting to see that. Our trends are already starting to show that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We super appreciate everybody that links to us.
We really do.
Like WordPress, for example, shows incoming links. When somebody links to us, I go always check out their blog.
Yeah.
Seriously, I take the time to do that. It's really important to us.
And if you want to follow what's going on between episodes, I've been trying to do a better job of blogging about it. My blog is lunduke.com.
Yep.
I link to it somewhere on the site.
And we're always updating.
Trying to keep in touch.
We're always updating on Twitter. We announce new show releases or stuff like that.
That's right. So twitter.com/BrianLaz, L-A-S, and Chris, L-A-S, if you want to follow us there. So we want to keep everyone in touch. If you want to know what we're doing, those are the best ways to do it.
Definitely.
And it's all awesome. That's how I got to say about it. It's all awesome because of the awesome being.
Yep.
I like it. That's all there is to it.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, episode 2 of season 9.
That's right.
Of the Linux Action Show.
Let's make it the 82nd episode.
82nd.
Something like that.
We're
getting closer to 100.
Right along, dude.
We're getting closer to 100.
Yep.
I'm excited.
I know it.
We're getting close to 100.
Live show? I don't know. Okay, anyway.
We got to do something.
Yeah, something for
100. An arena show.
If you've got an idea, leave it in the thread in the forum for this
Live
episode.
At the Tacoma Dome.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Later, everybody.